You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to
this. Open your eyes!
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you?
No, sorry.
No way.
You must go seize the
it's
moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Welcome to Inside Ben Davis Football on WBDG. I'm your host, Zion Brown, alongside WBDG General Manager John Easter and Ben Davis Head Football Coach Jason Simmons. We're going to start off this program with discussing the Giants' win against Pike last Friday at Pike. It was a 48-24 victory, and Coach Juwan Swanson, he broke through with 341 passing yards and six overall touchdowns against Pike. How would you judge his progression as a QB, and did you expect him to have such a good game?
Yeah, I it's really a kind of a two-faced question there. When you talk about judging his progression as a Q, you know, I think we're heading in the right direction. Yeah, it's easy to get caught up and you watch him throw he threw the ball well Friday. We certainly racked up some passing touchdowns. He had some rushing touchdowns as well. And when you look at his progression as a Q, I think there's some things we've done. Now that we have a better understanding of exactly where he's at and exactly what he can do, I think we've done some things as a coaching staff to try and progress him in a manner that fits him. I think he's owned some of the things that we've asked him to do here these last couple of weeks, certainly for sure. And then when you look overall holistically as an offense, he has two more games of experience compared to week one. He has three more games of experience compared to where we were in the preseason, and so. Yeah, I think it rings true across our entire roster. We just got another week's worth of experience, and that was in practice, and that was certainly in the contest on Friday night. He played well. You know, he took care of the football. It's the first game he's had without a fumble or an interception. You know, and so he valued the football better, which we challenged him to do. He understood. You know, his pre-snap reads were certainly a lot better than what they were the first 2 weeks, which shows growth. His post-snap reads were a lot better than they were the first 2 weeks, which shows growth. And so, you know, we're certainly headed in the right direction with him. Still feel confident in him in July, and felt confident in him in August, and we certainly feel confident with him right now in September. And so we just got to continue to push him and challenge him and grow him through practice. And then when we get into games on Friday nights, we got to put him in positions where he can help us and not hurt us.
As you look back at this game, and this is going to sound like a stupid question, maybe it is, but just how important was it to get that first win in the win column this year, especially for a team that in certain spots is pretty young?
Yeah, I think when you look at how we played the first 2 weeks, it's really easy to start getting consumed with wins and losses. Because the expectations here are that you're going to go out and win every game. And when you're not competitive in those first 2 weeks of the season, it's because because you weren't competing as hard and playing as hard as you could. You really at that point got to take the pressure off of wins and losses. And while we want to win every game, there's no doubt about that. We had to get better as a football team first. You know, we had to handle adversity better for one. We had to be willing to compete harder and play harder too. And then we had to believe we could win three. And so we spent a great deal of our practice time last week worried about those three things. You know, yeah, we had a game plan for Pike. Yeah, Pike was 2-0. We understand all that. But if we weren't willing to play harder, if we weren't willing to compete at the highest level that we could, and play as hard as we could, just maximum effort, and then believing in our ability to go get the job done, then we were going to struggle with any team on our schedule. And so we spent a big chunk last week just worried about those three things. Play as hard as you can play. You got to believe you can go out and make those plays, and you have to be willing to go compete and represent Ben Davis football every time you take the field, whether you take the field in practice, whether you take the field in a Friday night game, whether you take the field on Saturday. You have to be willing to compete and represent Ben Davis football, play as hard as you can. And you know, for us, we have to believe we can go be the, you know, we can go make those plays. And so, you know, Zion was there in the locker room before the game, and he heard me talk to our guys about those three things. It wasn't a rah-rah speech. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't anything other than maximum effort and believe you can go be the guy to go make a play, period. Now, go play as hard as you possibly can every snap that you're on the field. Did we do that Friday? No. Did we do that in more plays than we didn't? Yes. And that's partially what led to our success on Friday.
Pike switched back and forth at QB between Anthony Seidella and Akeem Abdul-Rahim. Is that something that you expected going into the game, or did that catch you off guard a little bit?
It didn't catch us off guard. You know, they had played two quarterbacks in their first two games, getting to the point where they were 2-0. They had success with both quarterbacks. I felt like Anthony Seidella was more of a in the pocket type of guy. He was going to be able to sit back there and spin it a little bit. I thought the lefty five maybe could extend plays a little bit more, and maybe was a little shiftier in the run game. I anticipated seeing a little bit more quarterback run from him than what we did. But we felt we knew we were backs, and we felt like we had a good plan for both of them. And you know, we gave up 200 yards in the first half, or just under 200 yards in the first half, and 111 of it were on two pass plays. And so, you know, that's got to be a point of it's got to be a point of contention with us in the secondary. But when you give up 111 yards out of 199 on two plays in the first half, you know, it certainly doesn't help your cause. But no, we knew we were going to see both. Felt like we had a good plan and a good handle on what the strengths were of each of those quarterbacks, and for the most part, felt like our secondary played fairly well.
Yeah, you were able to get some turnovers and a couple interceptions and fumble recoveries and things, but your special teams play, I thought, was very good Friday night, at least watching at home. Talk a little bit about your special teams and what you're trying to accomplish with them.
Yeah, you know, when we had a coaching change at the end of last year, our special teams coordinator, Coach Butler, left. He took a different job, and so Coach Harris, Dan Harris, has taken over our special teams, and you know, he's really done a great job spearheading that group and really just putting different emphasis in place each and every day in practice. And so we spend a lot less time in just full team reps on special teams. We spend a lot more time on the individual fundamentals that are going to lead to us being successful on special teams. And so, you know, I think that's been a good switch for us. When you look at who we're playing on special teams and you look at some of the things that we're doing, we certainly have an aggressive mindset with it. You know, we've tried two fakes now in the last 2 weeks. Neither one of them have worked. We tried a fake PAT. It didn't work. But we got to continue to evolve, and we got to push the envelope a little bit without putting our program in harm's way or putting our football team in harm's way. But we also feel like on the flip side, our special teams have made some big momentum plays for us early. You know, we got to had a nice kickoff return against Avon, you know, that we felt good about. You know, we punted the ball when we were backed up against Brownsburg and covered well. You know, I felt like we've had good coverage units. Certainly, you know, it helps when Pike tries the reverse and they bounce it off the kid's face mask. But yet we had guys down there ready to go make a play. When that guy goes to pick the ball up, there's four white jerseys around him and him. And Charles Knuckles does a great job putting a hit on him and not worrying about the ball. When Charles put the hit on him, the ball was going to be ours regardless, because we had way more hats around it than they did. And so, you know, Charles really sold out for our football team there. And that's the leader he is. I think that's just the nature of who he is as a person. And that was a huge play to open the game. And then we have a kickoff return out past the 50, or right at the 50. We have a kickoff return out past 35. Felt like our punt team did some things okay. We blocked a kick, you know. So our special teams, we certainly feel like we're getting better in that area. Certainly feel like we're pushing the envelope, and you know, it's a huge priority for us in practice. It's a huge priority for us on Friday nights, because it is sometimes it's that neglected phase of the game, and that's not a position we want to be in. We want to play special teams to give us a chance to win games and to help us win games, and not take games away from us.
What do you think led to the outburst of long plays that Beattie had on Friday?
Well, when you look at big plays, it's easy to say, oh yeah, we want to go out and make big plays. But big plays come from execution and being able to get into rhythm and take shots in rhythm, being in the right call at the right time. Like, it's easy to say, yeah, we want to go out and make big plays. When you go back and you look at the game, the big plays for both teams were actually even. Pike had more offensive big plays than we did. They had 9. We had 7. We had 2 interceptions, which tied it at 9. We both had a fumble recovery on both kickoff teams got a fumble recovery. We didn't field the onside clean. And then obviously that opening kickoff we've already hit on. So we were even in big plays, but for us as an offense, that's probably the most big plays we've put up all year in a game. Obviously, we inserted Rylan Richardson in the starting lineup for us. He gives us a different element on the perimeter with our wide receiver core. Obviously he catches a hitch route, corner tried to undercut it. He makes the turn, was able to go 97 yards with the help of Donnell Mason sprinting downfield to help him out. Rylan had another 35-yard catch, had a 20-yard catch. Those three plays are three of our seven big plays. Brandon Fuentes had three long runs. We were finally able to get our tailback run game going. And so when you get your tailback run game going, you take some of the pressure off the quarterback. You coach your quarterback all read on his pre-snap reads and post-snap reads, and he gets the ball out on time. Now all of a sudden you're executing clean. Now you can push tempo a little bit, and now all of a sudden, boom, you're going to pop one because you're in the right call at the right time. And so, for us, it's easy to say we want to go, create big plays, but those things are going to come if you're executing well and you get into an offensive rhythm.
Coach, this was the 500th win for the program. Finally, after three attempts, you get it on the fourth time was a charm in this case, but you do get the 500th win for the program. And, I was crunching some numbers. Since 1973, Ben Davis has won now 403 football games since 1973 alone. So that kind of tells you, since Coach Wilbur arrived, it's 403 games. And since Coach Dullahan arrived, it's 345 games that the Giants have won, and that's 1984. So kind of put it in perspective, being a part of the 500th win of this program.
To put it, quite frank, it's truly a blessing to walk into this building every day and to know that, I've been blessed with the opportunity to be the head football coach here. When you think about historically who the head coaches have been in this program and the impact that they've had on the community in Wayne Township, the players that have come through Ben Davis High School, and to be, just to be in the same listing as some of those guys is truly an honor. And there's not a day that goes by that I walk in this building and don't understand the importance of the role that I have. Just historically, talking about this program and being a part of this community and being part of the school and having an impact on these kids. And so, it's a small part to say you're a part of win number 500, but there's 499 other ones that a lot of people put a lot of work into. And when you think about our program historically and you think about 500 wins, for me, two of the first people I thought about after the game on Friday were Coach Vanderbush, one who's been a part of a heck of a lot of wins here, and kind of does his thing behind the scenes. He sees the kids, almost every other day, or now, he sees them every third day with a hybrid schedule or whatever that rotation is. But the impact that he's had on this program, I think, is immeasurable. And the other person that I told you I thought of two people right away. The other one is Justin Ferris. I met Justin long in 2006, but we've been close friends since 2006. And you look at guys that have stood the test of time. He's been here 15 plus years. He has seen a lot of Ben Davis. When you go back and you count his playing career as well, he has seen a ton of Ben Davis. He's been a part of a lot of Ben Davis history. Been a part of two state championships as a coach. He started here, was a here in this program as a football player. And so, those are two people on staff that I have a great relationship, that I've had a great relationship with a long time. And so when it's easy to say, we were a part of win number 500, but like those guys have been a part of a lot of stinking wins here and have given a lot to this program. And so, to be able to do it with those two guys or to have those two guys alongside of us for win number 500 is pretty special when you think about what others have given to this program.
All right, that will wrap up our first segment here, talking about the 48-24 victory at Pike for the Giants last week. We will take a break and come back and talk about the Center Grove game coming up in 3 days. You're listening to Inside Ben Davis Football on WBDG.
I'm United States Surgeon General Jerome Adams, America's doctor. And all across our nation, we've taken steps together to slow the spread of coronavirus. Now we must continue to take personal responsibility to protect ourselves and our loved ones. Because even though not all of us risk a severe case of coronavirus, we all risk getting it and spreading it to others, maybe without even realizing that we're sick. So if we want to get back to school, back to work, back to worship, and back to overall health. There are things our country needs to do. We need to follow state and local guidelines, take extra precautions if at higher risk, wash our hands frequently, stay 6 feet from others when we can, and when we can't stay 6 feet from others, please, I'm begging you, wear a face covering. These small actions will make a big difference. So I'm asking you to say it with me, America. Coronavirus stops with me. You can learn more at coronavirus.gov.
Produced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services at taxpayer expense.
Welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football, where we're moving into the second segment here. I'm Zion Brown with John Easter and Jason Simmons, and we're talking about Center Grove, who won last week versus Carmel 42-0 at home. So, Coach, this is a Center Grove defense that had their way twice against BD last year, and they're returning seven of their starters. So how tough will it be to move the ball against this defense, specifically that front four that they have?
Well, when you look at them on defense, they're probably as good a defense as I've seen in the MIC, maybe since 2006. In 2006, it was my first year here. That Warren defense was pretty loaded. Carmel had a really stout defense. Matter of fact, they may have set the MIC scoring record defensively in 2011 or 2012. We lost a hard-fought regional game here to Carmel in 11. And so
11-9, I think, was that something like that?
Yeah. And so when you look historically, because you really, when you look at this defense and you look at not just their front four, because it's easy to just get consumed in those guys, but when you look up and down their defensive roster and you look at what their scheme does for them, it's going to be a formidable challenge for anybody in our league, anybody in the state of Indiana, to put points up on this group. And so certainly have our hands cut out, have our hands full with them, have our work cut out for us, whatever cliche you want to throw out. But the bottom line is this: we're going to show up on Friday and we're going to see a very good MIC defense. And from an offensive standpoint, we're going to have to be willing to compete. We're going to have to go execute at a really high level. We're going to have to value the football and finish plays. And so, that's our priority, and that's certainly our focus this week, is we got to show up and compete at a really high level. We got to value the football, and we got to be willing to go finish plays. Because you watch them, they not only play hard, they're disciplined as a group. They can finish each other's sentences from a defensive standpoint because they've been together for so long and they understand the system inside and out. We're going to have to play harder longer, and we got to find ways to stack good plays together and to try and keep the chains moving.
As you look at Center Grove, you talk about all the things that they do well, and certainly it's a little intimidating to see that they've played Warren Central and Carmel and have not given up a point yet in MIC play. They did give up 14 to a very, very good Decatur Central team in week one. But when you look at this Center Grove team, is there anything that you feel that is a weakness on the team?
They certainly haven't shown one through 3 weeks. We exchanged the first 3 weeks of film. You watch them against Decatur Central. They make big plays on special teams. They make big plays. Their offense makes big plays. They rip a couple long runs. Had two big scoring plays through the air in the first half. Had a vertical exchange route that they got loose on at the end of the first half. Tied in, caught a touchdown against Decatur Central. Then you watch them against Warren, and they were able to rip a couple long runs. And they didn't look like themselves early in that game, but then you get it into the second half, and they were able to string a couple drives together and score the football in the second half and really put that thing out of reach because their defense was able to pitch a shutout. And the same thing with Carmel. When you watch Center Grove on film, they never look uncomfortable. They never look like they're pressing for anything, and they're just them. They are who they are, and they're at ease because of so much. They have so much experience under their belt, and they're comfortable within their own systems, and they always know where they're going next. And so, they're certainly a good football team that has not put a lot of weaknesses on film yet.
How much different are your defensive practices when you prepare to face the Trojans' wing T offense?
Well, when you watch them on film, it hasn't been exclusively wing T. In the back of your mind, you have to always know that that's a part of who they are, and that's a part of who Coach Moore is, and that's a part of his DNA. They have shown to date They have shown as much or more spread formation, two back gun, some one back gun with an H back. They have shown some spread looks here quite a bit through the first three games. Now, could be because of who their quarterback is. It could be because of the volume of skill kids that they have back from a year ago. And it could be for whatever reason they want it to be, quite honestly. And, you know, they have dangerous players in every spot. You know, they can get in their wing tee stuff, and you look at 5, and you look at 8, and you look at 30, and you look at 88, and then all four of those guys are certainly focal points in their offense. And then they get in their two-back gun stuff, and you have 8, and you have 5, and you have 30, and you have all these guys that you got to ID and find and know where they're at and know what they want to do with each of those guys. And so, you know, it's certainly going to be a challenge. You know, one, we have to recognize what formation are they getting into, and then two, you got to figure out what they want to do out of that formation. But, you know, the interesting thing about them is, you know, they're a little old school. They're going to huddle. They're going to break the huddle. They're going to hurry up and get lined up, and they ain't going to give you a lot of time to look at anything. And so for us, you know, we got to be able to diagnose quickly. We got to be able to get lined up. We got to be able to communicate, and we got to be disciplined and sound. And, you know, those are all things that are really tough to do, but that's what's made Center Grove successful, is they force you into executing and being sound. If you're not disciplined and sound, then that's how they take a 4-yard run and make it a 24-yard run, or they run a play action, hit a post route on you for a touchdown, and you know, that's who they are. And so, you know, we have to continue to drive and focus on our eye discipline, getting lined up, communicating, and then you know, when the ball snaps, we got to go make plays.
When you look at the series between these two teams, it's 15-14 right now in favor of the Giants, but Center Grove has won 6 of 7 overall in the series. So, you know, I know at different times Warren Central has kind of had Ben Davis's number, but it seems like right now Center Grove kind of has the number. What is it specifically that the Trojans do, if anything, that gives the Giants trouble, at least in the last few years?
Well, you know, they're going to force us into executing at a really high level. And you look at the one game out of the last 7 that Ben Davis has won, it was in 2017. And, you know, I think everybody that's listening to this show or that's going to hear this pregame on Friday is going to understand that group was pretty special.
But that game was still close early on
and
Reese Taylor kind of was Reese Taylor.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, I think really it just comes down to being disciplined enough to try and out-execute them. And then it's going to come down to whether, you know, who's going to make that play when that play is there to be made. And so, you know, again, that comes back to what we talked to our guys about, being willing to tell yourself you're the guy that's going to go make that play. And, you know, when those opportunities come about you got to be willing to go make them. You know, you look at what Dalen Carnell did last Friday on defense, and, you know, there were two plays there to be made, and he made both interceptions. He ran back one of them back to the 1-yard line, set our offense up for a 1-yard scoring drive. And then the second one he made killed a scoring drive opportunity for Pike, and, you know, he lands at the 3-yard line, and, you know, we throw a 97-yard hitch route. And so, you know, you look at all those things, and those plays are going to be there to be made on Friday. And, you know, the bottom line is, can we get enough hats to the football to gang tackle this thing and keep a 2-yard run a 2-yard run? Or is that 2-yard run become a 5-yard run? And then maybe you tackle the next one for 2, and now you're 3rd and 3, and that's where they make money. You know, and so, you know, I think winning first down on both sides of the ball is going to be critical for us. If we can win first down offensively, certainly going to feel good about being able to stack plays together and get first downs. If we win first down defensively, you know, we certainly have a chance to get stops. And so, just going to come down to really to win a first down and who's going to make those plays.
And you mentioned in the first segment, you talked about how well Rylan Richardson played as a starter, and right there you just talked about Dalen Carnell and his two picks, but Carnell only played defensively last Friday. Do you think that allowed him to concentrate more as a defensive back, and will he continue for the foreseeable future to only play that side of the ball?
He, you know, I think what you saw was the impact that he can truly have on a football game when he's not running routes on the other side of the ball offensively on a consistent basis. And so, you know, for us, we felt like, you know, getting Rylan was going to help us provide some depth. Rylan had a really good week of practice, gave us an opportunity, knowing that Dalen was going to be on the other end on the defensive side of the ball, most likely defending 30 to 35 pass attempts from Pike, because they like to spin it. They had three receivers that we felt like could go make plays, and that, you know, they felt like they had three dangerous receivers. And so, you know, we made a conscious decision as a coaching staff to try and minimize the amount of time that Dalen was on the offensive side of the ball, because we knew his impact defensively could be huge for us, and we needed him to be fresh. And we saw what a fresh Dalen Carnell can do defensively on Friday, and felt like his leadership was outstanding on the back end. Had those two big interceptions, but you know, as much as anything, it was his communication, you know, his body language. There was a lot to like about Dalen on Friday. And so, you know, I think much of what we do with him moving forward is just going to be situational. If we need him offensively, he's obviously ready to go. He's getting, if we need him on special teams, he can start to maybe take a little bit more on in special teams if he's not playing as much offensively. And so, you know, I think where we use him and how we use him is all going to be pretty intentional moving forward. And you know, and if he gets to the point that he can be an impact guy for 100 plays a game, then he may be on the field for 100 plays a game.
Center Grove is coached by Eric Moore. Of course, we've talked about him a couple of times, or talked around him a little bit here. But this is his 22nd year at Center Grove. He is now at 199 on the win total, and certainly we hope that he holds that off for a few weeks in getting number 200. But talk about the impact that he's had on Center Grove.
Well, I think when you look at his impact was almost immediate, you know, from the first year that he took over. And, you know, he brought with him from Florida, he brought with him just a mindset, he brought with him a plan. And, you know, the work that he's done holistically in that program, K-12, is immeasurable, because they're running the wing T variety of that offense from the time they're born down until the time they graduate from Center Grove and move on. And so, you know, his footprint has certainly been sustainable. And you look at the body of work that he's done, and he's been outstanding down, he's been outstanding down in Center Grove, and the immediate impact. And you know, when you talk to him off the field, you talk to him on the field, he's a great guy. You talk to him off the field, he's a great guy. He's got perspectives that are certainly eye opening, you know, for a guy that, you know, that certainly, you know, he's somebody that I look up to. I embrace conversations with him, you know, when we're off the field at a clinic or whatnot. And, you know, he's a guy that you can always get something from when you have conversation with him. And, you know, I talked to him a while back, during this whole pandemic piece, and just, you know, try to pick his brain a little bit about, you know, what they're doing that we could implement in our program. And, you know, I think we were all like that a little bit, but, you know, he's certainly become, I'm pretty sure he's the longest tenured coach in the MIC now, right?
I think Yeah.
And so, you know, when you look at that, and he's had sustained success there at Center Grove. So, you know, he's certainly an icon here in the state of Indiana, if you will.
Yeah, I think there's no question. I think, he's been there since 1998.
Yeah.
At Center Grove. So, yeah, absolutely. He did have a great record in Florida, too. 247-77 overall. So that means he'd only lost like five games coming into Center Grove when he moved over. But he's an Indiana guy, correct? He's from Indiana originally.
Yes, he is. Yeah. He's from Indiana, played at IU, and then obviously spent the first chunk of his coaching career down in Florida before he came back here to Center Grove.
And last thing here, what areas of the game will the Giants have to control in order to truly compete with the state's number one team on Friday night?
Well, we got to go in and we got to try and win first down on both sides of the ball. I think first down is going to be important. It's going to be something to take a look at, keep an eye on. I think it's going to be easy. I think the next thing you go look at is total number of plays. You know, if we can keep our offense on the field and grind out first downs, you know, I think that's something that could swing into our favor. And then you got to look at big plays, whether it's offense, defense, special teams. I think those three numbers are going to be important for us. We got to win first down. We got to win the bet, and we got to win the battle of big plays. And when you look at last year's two games, you know, I think turnovers in that game really swung the game. We turned the ball over a handful of times in that first game, and it led to immediate scores for them. Kind of swung the tide of the game. And then, you know, you look at that second game, the semi-state game. We were on the move late in the game, down a touchdown, and, you know, put the ball on the deck inside the 25-yard line. So, you know, I think when you look at it, yeah, I think you got to look at first downs. You got to look at big plays, and you got to look at turnover, the turnover battle, and so. You know, we're going to be ready. I know it's state's number one team. We've played the number one team before, and so, you know, we're looking forward to the opportunity that's coming our way on Friday.
All right. Thank you, Coach Simmons. Thank you to all who listened this week. Don't forget to tune in on Friday night. It will be at Giant Stadium. Gavin Miller and myself will have the call with the pregame at 6:15, kickoff coming around 7. This has been Inside Ben Davis Football on WBDG. Have a great night.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.